Welcome back to Deja Vu, the show where we talk about new releases and the classic movies that influence them. My name is Sydney Brumfield, joined again by co-host Rachel Weinberg. This week we are discussing our fourth film in our series on the genre of science fiction, which is Steven Spielberg's 1982 film, E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Wow, I'm really excited for this one. This is our first real kids movie. I mean, Star Wars is kind of a kids movie, but this is the first fully kids movie.
Yes, yeah, I'm also really excited. So jumping in, E.T. the Extraterrestrial was directed by Steven Spielberg and written by Melissa Matheson. This film stars Dee Wallace as Mary, Henry Thomas as Elliot, Peter Coyote as Keys, which I think is so funny that they don't name him, but in all these shots we just see his keys, so that's what they named his character. Robert McNaughton as Michael, and then of course Drew Barrymore as Gertie.
It's wild because we're going to talk about Drew Barrymore later, but it's crazy that out of everyone who's in this cast, Drew Barrymore is the one that's the most well known. But for me, like, I know Dee Wallace doesn't really have so much of a role, but I think she does a really great job as a supporting character and playing like a real mom, especially in when Elliot messes up his room because Michael and Gertie are finally seeing E.T. And he says, did you do this to your room? And she says, oh, it was an accident. And she says some Star Wars line that I'm going to butcher, so I'm not going to say it. I just feel like her portrayal was so honest. And I think that's probably why Dee Wallace is always playing a mom character in, like, The Howling and Cujo and everything else. But it's just such a good cast. Same with Henry Thomas as Elliot. Such raw emotion from such a little boy.
I know, really. I think both of those actors that you just touched upon do a phenomenal job. I think Dee Wallace especially, she manages to, like, really capture what it is to be a mom really well. She's not just the stern parental figure. Like, she truly cares what's going on in her child's lives, but she also is trying to, like, get by being a single parent. I think you really see that struggle. And she also manages to deliver an element of comedy with her performance. Like, I remember the first time Elliot and E.T. almost kind of interact when E.T.'s in the shed and he tries to show everybody. He drops the pizza on the ground and the older brother's friends are upset and she goes,
a pizza? Yeah, who said you guys could order a pizza, huh? In the house.
You keep it, man.
It's just like she does a great job of really being this believable, compassionate mom character. And of course, Henry Thomas, I think, probably one of the best performances I've seen of a child. I mean, just very, very moving.
For sure. I think, too, you see that humor really play out whenever Gertie is saying, Mom, I want you to meet someone. I want you to meet someone. And she's putting the stuff away in the fridge. And then E.T. is just walking behind her. I think that she adds so much realness, especially being a struggling single mom, where when we're really introduced to her as a character, she ends up crying because of what, like, Elliot tells her about his father. So just a really good mom actor.
Right. I mean, and for the plot of E.T., we watch as this family's world is turned upside down when Elliot, Henry Thomas, decides to help out a lost alien, which he names E.T. Things begin to escalate as Elliot and E.T. form a larger-than-life connection, and the family attempts to contact E.T.'s home. Of course, the government gets involved, and then things truly do get messy. Spielberg was not an unknown director, per se, when he took on this project, but he was still very much, I think, in the early stages of his career. This is only 7 years after he had his first big theatrical release with Jaws, which of course would shoot him up to stardom and mainstream success. Before E.T. the Extraterrestrial, he does Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 1941, the infamous Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's in 1981, and then E.T. the Extraterrestrial comes out the following year.
Yeah, that's such, like, also Spielberg's really young at this point, too. I think we need to remember he was at USC Film School with George Lucas and I think Ridley Scott in the early 70s. So he's out of film school and he's making some of, like, the most well-known movies of all time. And I think no one can capture childlike innocence the way that Steven Spielberg can. And yeah, we don't really see that as much in those other movies, but even in Jaws, when you have father and the son doing the thing, and I think Close Encounters of the Third Kind is probably my favorite alien movie from him, but I think it does a really great job of fatherhood. Fatherhood is a huge link through all of his films, which I'm excited to talk about with this one. But he's one of those few directors that I think is very deserving of the hype that he gets. I think he's a very consistent filmmaker. And this just shows, especially this movie, really showed his total range. I think that especially the best part of this movie is how he captures kids. The fact that you see these government officials from the belts down for most of the movie, just like a child would see it. That's just such a really great little nod that reminds you of that childlike wonder when you see an adult. And the fact that he allows for the kids, especially Drew Barrymore, to stumble on a few of her lines really allows for that emotion to feel natural and raw. And I think this is such an amazing movie to really cap off this crazy, like, 8-year stint of filmmaking.
I totally agree. I think really what you said, it hones in on what Spielberg manages to do great, which is he manages to show the viewer something extraordinary in our ordinary world, and then wonder ensues. You know, it's this extra fantastical element thrown into the everyday world, and it's something that viewers of all ages, I think, are made to experience, really just that childlike wonder. And I think we see it in some of the earlier ones. I think, like, the closest one would be, like you said, Jaws. We see the child and the father, and honestly, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, there is still that element of wonder and adventure that you get in that, even though there's not many childlike elements to it. But definitely in his later works, like Hook and Jurassic Park, and then of course E.T., I think they all come to form this really great consistency with Spielberg.
Yeah, I think Hook is criminally underrated as well. Hook is a good movie. I'll fight people. I think, yeah, this movie does such a great job with the fantastical elements, because the premise is you're a little boy and you stumble across an alien, and that should just be wild, right? But the way that you see E.T.'s magic really come through are the little things like the flowers, or whenever he's watching the movie and he connects with Elliot and he does the movie too. Those little things aren't so big that it throws you out, but small enough and still, like, cool enough that it really brings you back to being a child.
Right, and this is so impactful because very few films at the time were keeping this child or children audience in mind. I think this really is the start of the family feature mindset of creating a plot and environment that really is, like, suitable and made for all ages. And I think we can really see where it's kind of, there's an engaging plot line for children where it's like, oh my gosh, an alien and space, and now the boys are flying on bicycles. But there's still enough for adults to follow the plot and be entertained and not just be bored for a children's movie.
Yeah, we went from the 70s, which were supposed to be kind of gritty and raw, and then Steven Spielberg, I think more than most directors, is so emblematic of the 80s and what we look for when we try to recreate that now in the 2000s with our push for that nostalgia. And I think that the great thing about this film is that it's for kids, about kids, and it's true to their experiences. So Gertie, Elliot, and Michael are all dealing with the loss of their father, and E.T. is really kind of the surrogate to fill that void. And then we see this is something that Elliot, like most kids would do, is weaponizing this relationship between the mother and the father whenever he talks about Mexico.
Maybe you ought to call your father and tell him about it.
I can't. He's in Mexico with Sally.
Whenever you think that he runs away because he was helping E.T., Mary's thinking that the reason that he left is telling the officials is because he lost his dad recently. So this is foiled really well with E.T., who's also losing his family. And in my mind, E.T.'s also a child. I kind of see that, like, beautiful, like, naivete with E.T. And I think that those two relationships, or lack thereof, makes their connection so much deeper.
I also think E.T. is a child. I think some of the earlier, even before we see him, the noises that he makes in the wood, I think are very childlike and almost like a baby crying. But I think Elliot definitely weaponizes the fact that his father has left, like, in between him and his mom. Something that I completely had missed when I watched it as a child, because I think I have definitely shifted in terms of watching it, because when I was younger, I didn't like the older brother, Mike, at all. I thought he was annoying. I thought he picked on Elliot. And now I'm watching it, and especially that dinner table scene, the older brother wants nothing more than to protect the mom. He's like, Elliot, you're such a jerk. Of course he is. Like, I was like, Elliot, you're such a jerk. Why would you say that to your mother? But you're so right. Like, it accurately depicts this, like, very intense family conflict.
Yeah, I was with you. I always thought Michael was the meanie and everyone should be nicer to Elliot. And then I'm realizing that it's really because Michael, who's probably around 13, had lost his dad and feels like he needs to take on that role. And he's like the protector now. And while he's mean to Elliot, you know, he still does. Elliot says, I want to show you the goblin. And he still comes. He still does those things. And I think that the older that I get, the more that I appreciate less about E.T. and more about these four people and the really beautiful bond that they have.
I totally agree. I think it really is a very accurate depiction of the relationships that we experience within a family. Like, they are not always perfect or picturesque, but Spielberg manages to make them beautiful in a way, I think. They're relatable and there's this conflict, but at the end of the day, you know, when the mom is watching Elliot and E.T. on surgical tables, she's probably still, like, furious this is happening, but more than that, she is so worried about her son and ends up caring just as much about E.T. and the situation as her children do.
I haven't seen this movie in a while and, like, very much forgot that E.T. dies. Like, completely forgot that. And then I was watching it and I was like, oh my gosh, E.T. does die. I'm, like, not ready. But I really love about that scene is that you really see that Keyes isn't the bad guy that you thought he was. And that instead he's still a child at heart too. He's like, I wanted this since I was 10 years old. And it's so nice to watch a movie when you realize that your bad guys aren't actually that bad, especially as a little kid who, like, doesn't understand what authority is. So I really appreciated that so much more upon this viewing than when I was younger. And I also, like, blocked it out, yeah, probably because it was so scary.
Yes. No, I have a vivid memory of, like, the first time when I watched this as a kid. I was probably 6 or 7. I was scared by it. I remember, like, E.T. just makes all of these weird noises and I couldn't understand. And I still, like, don't fully understand it, but the bond that E.T. and Elliot get, where it's, like, they have, like, an actual, like, physical connection, and, like, their health is dependent upon one another, I couldn't really comprehend that. And then E.T. getting that ghostly, like, white, sick color was, I just, vivid memory of how terrifying that was, that I really appreciated getting to watch it again for this episode, because I think I have such a greater appreciation for it, even though when I first watched it, it had the same effect that Alien has on me now.
I really remember, like, I loved this movie as a kid. I think they re-released it for the 20th anniversary, so it was 2003, so I was, like, 4. And I remember my grandma took us, and it was, like, so cool to me to see it. I was also 4, so, like, how much did I understand? And then they knew that I liked E.T., so they got this, like, little animatronic toy E.T. and they put it in the closet for me to open, and I opened it and I had a Drew Barrymore moment where I started screaming, and I was so scared of E.T. for like 10 plus years after that. Went from like loving the movie to hating the movie. But the death scene is so impactful, and I think the reason why it made me cry at this point when I'm like 22 watching it was because as an adult I'm not as much focused on E.T. dying as scary as the pale white was, but it's more, there's this 11-year-old boy who's watching his best friend die after not having his dad anymore, who's all alone, and, like, that's just the saddest thing for me. And I think that's, like, really reminiscent of your old Gellers or your Lassies. Like, it's supposed to be this really intensely sad moment because you're empathizing with Elliot, which is what you should be doing when you're watching a movie like this.
Right, and I think Henry Thomas's performance in that scene, so spectacular, because like you, I teared up and I cried when I was watching him sob over this little tiny white metal casket, and they do such a great job of this really dark chasm that Elliot has entered. He's lost his best friend in the whole world. And then you see, like, the red light from E.T. start to shine through, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I was so happy.
Yeah, it's such a good moment, especially because he, like, after that, you have this really beautiful moment, and then he's, like, covering him up, and he's, like, hiding him in there. And it's just, like, the perfect amount of humor.
Right, as E.T. starts to, like, methodically go, E.T. phone home, E.T. phone home, like, he did it.
E.T. phone home, E.T. phone home, E.T. phone home, phone home, phone, 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 E.T. phone home.
And he runs out into the tunnel, and he's like, my go, he's alive, pretending to cry when he runs in. It's just so good. It's so good.
It truly is. And I think as a whole, there's so many elements of it that make this film beautiful that I can appreciate so much more now. Specifically, the soundtrack is absolutely amazing. I mean, just, I got literal goosebumps when, you know, the music swells and it's the iconic theme from the movie and the kids are riding across the sky. And the first time when it's just Elliot and E.T. is so moving, because I think it's just so symbolic of where their friendship is in that moment. You know, like, they're one in the same, they're doing this, and this is like their journey together, and I think it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, I have a weird question for you about that. So I was watched it with Diego, and I believe that they shouldn't have been pedaling. I think it was just a CGI thing, and that E.T.'s pushing them forward, right? Now, he believes that there's an invisible road that E.T. gave them and that they have to keep puzzling to ride on the road. Now, I'm going to stay with my opinion, but what were your initial thoughts on that? Or did you just, like, not think about it because it's kind of a stupid thing?
Oh, my gosh. I, to be completely honest, I don't think I thought of it, because I think where my brain went was it's just, like, almost muscle memory for Elliot to keep pedaling. I don't think he was doing anything, though. I really do think it was E.T. taking the reins, but I like Diego's imagination that there would have, that E.T. like put a little road there for them. Oh, that's really cute.
I just felt like maybe they were on a green screen and they just had to keep puddling to stay out, and then he was like, well, they should have just put them on wires. And I'm like, I don't know, how often are you putting kids on wires? But yeah, just a little debate that I wanted to see your input on.
That's a good question, though. Speaking of the special effects of it, though, I thought they did a great job at all of the elements of this, given it was, like, the early 80s when this came out. I was watching it, and I don't think any of it aged too poorly. I mean, yes, you can tell when the kids are flying through the sky that it's a green screen. You can kind of see the little, like, hue around them as they're, like, flying through the woods. But I think there's still such a tangibility with E.T., the spaceship, and the kids flying. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a lover of practical effects, and I think for E.T.'s he does wear a cute outfit that Gertie gets him in, but I think E.T. is so, even if you haven't seen the movie, you know who E.T. is, you know what I mean? And that's a testament to the design. It's also a testament to, like, the tangibility, as you said, the fact that you can really see these little boys touching it. And I think that if this were to be in, like, computer generated more, I don't think that we would have gotten the same performance out of Drew Barrymore or Henry Thomas or any of the actors. So I think it's a really, really great exercise in special effects, which Spielberg usually does super well.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking back to his prior works, Jaws, they did, even though there were a lot of difficulties in making Jaws, when you do see that shark, I think they did a great job given the, like, the time it was made and the difficulties that they faced with the shark not working all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jaws scared generations to not going into the water, and if he could make that shark work after, like, the longest shoot ever, I would hope that he could make E.T. work, and he did a great job. So, I think there's, unlike his contemporaries who he went to school with, I think he has such consistency and such attention to his own vision that it always ends up working out in the end.
Right, and I think as a whole, everything we're touching on just is, like, a tip of the hat to how this truly is, like, a great film. I think for children who are watching it, this is probably like a really great journey for them to see like some of the emotional turmoils that they might not have like faced yet, where it's like emotional discovery of like some things maybe they have experienced but they can't really like put words to yet. Like, I'm sure children watching this, some of them had had a parent leave and they didn't know that other children were feeling that way, and there's this really great connection that you can find in that. And then for adults, there's that rediscovery of, like, I was watching this and I felt like a kid again. I was like, I'm not that old, but it's still, it's that nostalgic kids on the block in your suburban neighborhood having this adventure, which I think is wonderful.
For sure. A good children's movie brings in real life themes, which I think is why this works so well. Spielberg, if I'm remembering correctly, was also a child of divorce. I think that's why this notion of fatherhood really persists in all of his movies. And I think that this is such a good film to show little kids when they lose a parent like that, because what it does so well is that it empathizes, or like makes you humanize the parent that's still there. And a lot of the time when you have a child who's dealing with divorce, there's that one parent that gets scapegoated, and usually it's the one that has to be with them more. So I think really creating Mary's character to have this fear, to have this pain, but to still continue trying, really empathizes and humanizes children's parents whenever they're losing one.
I think you said that so well, and I think we really do see this complex relationship, not only with Elliot and his mom, but even just all the kids at one point or another refer to her as Mary, which I think is so funny. Like,
what are you doing, Gert?
I'm going to play in Elliot's room.
Okay. Don't let him torture you.
I won't, Mary.
Just very formal with her mother, which I think it really does just show. Of course, Gertie can't put to words that maybe there's just something astray or not right, but I think she's definitely still expressing that with the brief lines like that.
Yeah, I mean, in the opening table scene when they're eating dinner, Michael says an insult to Elliot, and Gertie goes, oh, do I have to? I forget exactly. I don't think it was penis breath, but it was, like, among those, and her innocence is just so, so cute. And when she's like, I'm going to play in Elliot's room, she's like, don't make a mess. And she's like, I won't, and just goes in. Or my favorite's whenever they say, you're not actually a ghost. And she goes,
I'm only pretending I'm going as a cowgirl.
Okay, now you know the plans by heart, don't you?
Meet you at the lookout. At the lookout. I'm not stupid, you know.
I know the plan. I'm not stupid. Just so cute.
She's absolutely adorable, and just personally, to gush about Drew Barrymore for a second, she truly steals the show to me watching this. When she has that moment where she teaches E.T. to talk, and she's just so, so proud, I think it's just precious, because it really is this element of just, like, simple joy that it's very ephemeral to when we are young, and I think Barrymore does an excellent job at acting.
Drew Barrymore is such a great actress. I think there's nothing cuter where E.T. looks at Elliot and he says, be good. And she goes, I taught him that. She was just so cute. And it's crazy that this movie really catapulted her into the success that she had. I think especially in the conversations that are happening today with, like, young female child stars and everything that she was able to persevere on top of, like, her talent, it's really, she's just an amazing person, and with a perfect, perfect role for this movie.
Absolutely. I think the casting on this project was amazing, and I think it's a testament to how important it is to have actors who are the correct age playing children, because I think now, the first example I can think of is, like, 13 Reasons Why. Like, they have, like, 25 to like 31 year olds playing teenagers, and like I think it loses a lot of its like authenticity. But in this, you know, we have the like three huge age groups represented, and I think they do an excellent job in all their performances. So yeah, I think the casting team did an excellent job.
For sure. Casting kids is definitely the most difficult thing to do. And yeah, I'm really glad that they chose actual children and not, you know, like adults. But I think Spielberg does a really good job at always casting good kids. I know that he didn't direct Poltergeist or Gremlins, but he produced them and they're really well casted. And The Boys in Jaws too, Hook, just really good casting.
So I think in terms of the films we have watched before for this series, E.T. the Extraterrestrial definitely falls on the farthest side of the family-friendly science fiction adventure end of this, like, very wide, like, range of films compared to being anywhere close to 2001 A Space Odyssey. I do not think it is. And it's also definitely nowhere near Alien either. I think probably the closest to Star Wars.
Yeah, definitely the closest to Star Wars, which is so funny because this watch through, how many Star Wars references could you catch? So many. Obviously, we know that Spielberg and Lucas are BFFs and the licensing was insane. But also, like, E.T. is in the prequels, so they're actually, Yoda and E.T. are actually from the same universe. So whenever he sees Yoda trick-or-treating, I think the reason why he stops is because that's someone that he, like, technically would know in his universe. But yeah, I appreciate this film so much because it's made for kids, and being on this list so much because it's made for kids. And while Star Wars is childhood adjacent too, I think it's really morphed into something that is now dominated by adults. But it also proves that you don't have to dumb something down to be good and to be, like, relative for children in science fiction, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, thinking back to all those Star Wars references, like, the first time I realized it was so on the nose that it was, like, referencing Star Wars is when Elliot has that moment of, oh my gosh, this is my best friend and he's in my room for the first time, I'm gonna show him everything. And he shows him all of the, like, supporting characters of Star Wars. He's like, this is Boba Fett. And it's so wholesome. But I was like, wow, Star Wars is all over this. And I thought it was funny when E.T. was trick-or-treating and he just has the sheet over him, but he stops and just, like, rotates to, like, look at Yoda, and the older brothers are like, come on, like, you don't know what you're doing. That's just a Star Wars character. But that's really funny to think. He's like, why is my friend here? Why?
Yeah, it's crazy because it's so confusing now because Star Wars is so embedded with, like, popular culture in this movie. But yeah, and I did not know the prequels thing. Diego told me that when we were watching. He's like, that makes sense because he's in the prequels. I was like, oh, okay. But I love that scene where he shows E.T. all his toys. Because if it was a lesser director or a lesser writer, Ellie wouldn't have done that. He would have just showed him one toy. But having it be this long sequence where they're in the darkness too, you really don't see them head on because it's just, like, the griminess of a little boy's room. It's just so great that he just keeps going, knowing that E.T. speaks no English and is just, like, looking at these little things. It's so precious and so perfect.
I also think that's one of the scenes where we can really see that E.T. has that childlike wonder around him too, because all we can really see, just because of the height of him and the table, are those huge eyes that he has, and he really is just taking in everything that Elliot is showing him, and it's just so wholesome. And I think watching it, it felt so organic to me. Like, I almost wonder if, like, Spielberg was like, here's a table of things, I want you just to explain them to E.T. Like, because that's just what it felt. It truly felt like anytime I have babysat a little kid and they're like, here are all my toys and they're the best things ever.
Yeah, and I think we see that a little bit with E.T. too at the end. He brings the flowers with him. And what's he gonna do with the flowers? But he's gonna show what he found here to all of his friends and family. So it's a really great callback from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie.
That's something that I completely did not remember him doing. Like, I think I just remembered him saying the iconic, you know, I'll be right here line to Elliot that made me tear up. It was beautiful. I didn't remember him taking the flowers up to the spaceship, but he really does embody that same exuberant energy that Elliot has, because he's holding them out in front of him like, guys, look, I'm so happy you came back for me, because look what I have to show you. Like, this trip was worth it. I have these flowers and they're great.
Yeah, and it's so cute. He's like, I almost died, but I got my flowers. I think what this movie does differently than all of the other movies, and I think 2001 does it the worst, which is okay because it's all what it wants to do, but it really examines empathy. And I think that Star Wars is more like, they're just characters. And I think Alien is more, this is survival. But this movie is more like, I'm a lived in human being and look how I can genuinely love others, which I don't think we see in any other movie so far.
I totally agree. And I think though this film is the like pinnacle family-friendly sci-fi adventure film, it still greatly impacted the realm of science fiction. Because, like, this is a great example, and, like, one of the first films, I think, to bring aliens to, like, our realistic environment and see them interact with this world. Like, I think it speaks volumes that we have seen this pattern continue in other science fiction films that have followed, where the alien crash lands on Earth and has to like, eat a hot dog for the first time or learn, like, why do we walk dogs? Like, weird stuff that we take for granted. I think this film does a great job of showing how shocked an alien would be to see all of these things.
And it was also such a novel idea to not have the alien be the antagonist, right? We watch these, you have The Thing, you have The Day the Earth Stood Still, you have, I know that you know what it is, Donald Sutherland, whenever...
Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You have all of these movies where you get these extraterrestrial life forms on Earth and they just wreak havoc versus this ET who just he just wants a friend and he just wants to go home.
Exactly. And also I think maybe not so much as impacting the science fiction genre, but this film definitely impacted the way in which children are depicted in film and cinema as like these independent entities with thoughts and emotions and goals. And I think all the kids in this, we view them with a lot of respect. We're like, yeah, these kids aren't crazy. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. They have goals. And most notably, I think this is pulled on a lot, not only in, like, family films where all the age groups are represented, but we see it with Stranger Things in particular has pulled on this a lot in terms of how it's depicted kids, I think. Especially, like, the scene where Michael's friends come to help them one last hurrah and like all the kids are on their bikes. I went, wait, this looks and like feels exactly like Stranger Things. And I think the depiction of kids in this film becomes the way like kids, especially in the 80s, are kind of like immortalized.
Yeah, and it's so funny because so much of the content that we see today with Stranger Things and so on is due to Steven Spielberg. I mean, he is so emblematic of the 80s, as I already said. But these kids feel like individuals and feel so much more than just, like, the cookie-cutter model that we would see in those later movies. Not saying that's the deal with Stranger Things, but, like, I think with the sequel to It, the It Chapter 2 thing, they're more, like, pieces on a board than they are, like, individuals, which he does so well. And even with the friends, you don't get a lot of them, but when they're getting ready to blast off, you have that shot where each of them puts on their hat and you see a little bit of who they want to be. And I love that.
Yeah, same. I think it's great. And I don't think any of the, like, the supporting three friends, like, is any less formed than the others. Especially, like, I think Spielberg does so much with that scene around the table, like that opening shot of them playing. It's not D&D, but I think it's definitely something similar to that. And you just see that it's like each of them has their own personality and quirks, and one of them's going to pick on Elliot more. And I think that they all are these like really great depictions of kids.
Yeah, just a great movie.
It truly is. Getting into how I would rate this, I loved getting a chance to watch this film again. I felt like a kid, and I think, again, I've touched upon it the whole time, but I think this film does a great job of doing. It manages to make the viewers feel that childlike wonder as we try to figure out E.T. along with Elliot, and we just want his safe return. So I would rate this film like a very high 3.5 out of 5. It just gave me so much joy, and it was a blast to watch.
Yeah, I would give this probably a 4 out of 5 for me. It really takes me back to feeling young, which I don't think a lot of films could do well. I just can't believe that a grown man was able to make this movie, and I think it's just genuinely kind. I wish it was just a little shorter, because I think it would be a little better, but overall, a solid 4 out of 5 for me.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us today for our discussion of the film E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Join us in a couple of weeks to talk about our last film in our mini-series on science fiction, James Cameron's 1991 film, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. You can listen to any of the Ithacan podcasts wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at theithacan.org.